Om namen Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16. Today's text numbers 9 and 10. Translation. This king, Prithu Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. Atmation. The reciters continued, no one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. So say after me. The reciters continued. No one will be able to understand.
The policies the king will follow.
His activities will also be very confidential.
And it will not be possible for anyone to know.
How he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities. And his position will be maintained and covered, just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There is a predominating deity for all the material elements, and Varuna or Pracheta is the predominating deity of the seas and the oceans. From outward appearances, the seas and oceans are devoid of life, but a person acquainted with the sea knows that within the water exist many varieties of life. The king of that underwater kingdom is Varuna. Just as no one can understand what is going on beneath the sea, no one could understand what policy King Prithu was following to make everything successful. Indeed, King Prithu's path of diplomacy was very grave. His success was made possible because he was a reservoir of unlimited glorified qualities. The word Upagupta Vitaha is very significant in this verse. It indicates that no one would know the extent of the riches King Prithu would confidentially keep. The idea is that not only the king, but everyone should keep his hard-earned money confidentially and secretly so that in due course of time the money can be spent for good practical purposes. In Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury, and the only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper. Thus, in times of distress, the government artificially inflates the currency by simply printing papers. And this artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. Thus, keeping one's money very secretly is an old practice, for we find this practice present even during the reign of Maharaj Prithu. Just as the king has the right to keep his treasury confidential and secret, the people should also keep their individual earnings a secret. There is no fault in such dealings. The main point is that everyone should be trained in the system of Varnashrama Dharma so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else. So I'll read the text again, 9 and 10. This king, Prithu Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. The reciters continued, "No one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water." So in verse 10, what we are given here is a description of gravity, the quality known as gravity. Gambhira is the Sanskrit word. And it's one of the qualities of a Vaishnava, 26. Is it 26? Yes, 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. One of them is Gambhira, which we translate by the word grave. Now, that's not a very, it's not exactly a precise fit between the Sanskrit and the English, which sometimes leads one to not understand what this quality is. Now, the English word grave, the Sanskrit word gambhira, comes from the word that is means to be kept secret or confidential or hidden. Whereas the word grave, actually it means heavy. Its older meaning is to be someone who is an authority is very grave. And now it kind of means solemn and unsmiling and serious. But you'll notice that connotation, and of course then it also has the idea of being deep also. And that's where it coincides with Gambhira, of being something deep and difficult to understand. But this idea of being solemn is not really there in the Sanskrit. As you can see, the previous verse, he's always smiling with great affection for the citizens. And at the same time, he's grave. So this quality of gravity is not this, doesn't mean that one is not a pleasant person. Of course, there's a distinction between being solemn and being serious. It's often confused. So you meet a lot of people who are solemn without being serious, but you can be serious without being solemn. So here, he's always smiling with great affection for his citizens, but at the same time is grave. So the gravity is, this quality is defined in Nectar of Devotion, of course, and it's been collected here by Srila Gurupada in this book, The 26 Qualities of a Devotion. He's selected a few passages which described it. So this is what the Nectar of Devotion describes Gambhira. A person who does not express his mind to everyone, or whose mental activity and plan of actions are very difficult to understand, is called grave. So notice there's two qualities. One, he does not express his mind to everyone, and his mental activities and plan of actions are very difficult to understand. So even if it is expressed, or you understand his mind through his actions, still you can't understand. And here's some examples. After Lord Sri Krishna had been offended by Brahma, Brahma prayed to him to be excused. But in spite of his offering nice prayers to Krishna, Brahma could not understand whether Krishna was satisfied or still dissatisfied. In other words, Krishna was so grave that he did not take the prayers of Brahma very seriously. Another instance of Krishna's gravity is found in connection with his love affairs with Radharani. Krishna was always very silent about his love affairs with Radharani, so much so that Baladev, Krishna's elder brother and constant companion, could not understand the transformations of Krishna on account of his gravity. So the reason Krishna is grave is simply because uh, There's so much there, no one can understand. And the same with Prithu Maharaj. Let's first look at the example of Prithu Maharaj. Now, of course, the first thing we notice is that this quality of gravity here is will not be accepted by the modern government. On the contrary, people will not understand the difference between gravity and secrecy. And the notion of somebody being grave like this will be immediately condemned on the grounds that it's secret. And whenever there's secrecy, people become suspicious that there's malfeasance, there's criminal activities. What have you got to hide? So now the notion is that there should be there what they call sunshine laws. We're going to rip open the curtain of secrecy from government, and everything will be conducted openly and in public. So that one, and especially here, financial considerations, every person who is in government office now has to submit to the public his tax return. And if immediately that tax return is not submitted, then it's considered you're a crook. What has he got to hide? So for this reason, really serious people are no longer attracted to government service. Because everybody knows that these kinds of laws where you have to expose everything to everyone, no one is left any privacy anymore. It becomes very, very difficult. Of course, these sunshine laws make it very difficult to conduct government. But here, this quality of Gambhira, here this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not a corrupt person. King Prithu is not a corrupt person, nor are devotees who are grave corrupt. To be grave is not the same thing as having something to hide. And so we have to understand the difference of this quality. So as we see with Krishna, he did not express his mind to everyone. It is not his obligation to do so. And even if he did so, you wouldn't understand. So it's the same thing with Prithu. His intelligence is so great that no one can understand his plan of action. And that's the same with a devotee. Because a devotee's intelligence is so great, not because he may be so much endowed, but if he's an advanced devotee, he is receiving from the Supersoul instructions on how to act. So Krishna is giving him directions how to act. And acting on that basis, so how will you understand his actions? Those actions are coming from Krishna. And how does Krishna know what to do? And also, that devotee who may be getting his directions from his directions of actions from Krishna, he may also not understand what Krishna is, why Krishna is asking him to act in this way, or not fully understand, because Krishna is also grave. So let's consider the gravity of Krishna. Who else is in a position to understand everything? He's got his sources of information are all pervading. Krishna knows what is going on in everybody's mind. And he has his plan of action. We know, in a general way, what he wants. We know, for example, what the mission of Krishna is. To be engaged in Krishna's service, we have to be engaged in his mission. What is that mission? Well, the mission is, at this point, that he is going to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. That we're in the beginning of a golden age of Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna's plan is to conquer the world with the Sankirtan movement. So Krishna has his plan. What is it? How is he going to execute it? How are we to know? We don't have the information. We don't have all the data. Krishna has confidential knowledge of so many things that are happening, so many things that are going on in everybody's mind. Things are being adjusted according to the free will of every living entity, and he's bringing his plan about. We are asking him to please make us instruments in that plan, and to the degree that we surrender to him, he can use us as instruments in that plan. Sometimes what the Lord is doing becomes very difficult to understand because we are not, we're defective instruments. We're not fully surrendered, we're half surrendered, one-third surrendered. So Krishna's plan necessarily becomes a little complicated. It would be much simpler if everybody were just purely surrendered. So because we're not, therefore, his plan becomes complicated. But anyway, because he knows so much, which cannot be disclosed to us, just as you don't tell children everything, a parent doesn't tell a child everything that they're doing or planning. They understand things about the child's mind and his intention that the child can't understand. So parents in relationship to their children are necessarily grave. And if they do tell the child, then he won't understand anyway. So a superior person is always grave in this way. Of course, what modern people in democracies do not believe in is superior people. That's their estimation, that no one is actually superior. And if they have their way, they will be right. There won't be any superior people because everything they're doing is to increase the bad qualities so that any culture by which people can actually become superior is not available anymore. And if any person has good qualities, people will make sure they will not be able to manifest themselves very easily. Here you have an actual superior person. And so he's grave, avyaktavartma, his policies, his ways are avyakta, they are unmanifest. And the plans he is making, the policies, they are unmanifest. It says no one will be able to understand. Why is that? Is he trying to mystify people? No. He knows. He's in the position to know what is going on. Here's a big kingdom, so many things are there. He may talk to different people in his kingdom, but each of those persons has a partial point of view. They see this aspect, they see that aspect. Well, this is always a problem of management, that a manager has people under him, they're in charge of different departments, and this person sees this department, his department, the other person has the interest of his department. And so sometimes they won't understand why things are not going the way I want. But they have partial view. And they may not be able to understand because of their partial view, the view of the person who has everything. So this is Krishna's position. And it's also the position of King Prithu. So they won't be able to understand his... avyakta vartma, his policies will be unmanifested. Niguddha karya, his activities will be confidential. Gambhirya vedha, how he accomplishes things will be very, that'll also be grave. You will not understand how he has managed to do it. And Upagupta Vitaha, his treasury will be kept secret. So anyway, this is the gravity of Maharaj Prithu. So this gravity, it comes out of relationship with Krishna. A devotee who develops this quality, he develops it because he's very deep. It doesn't mean he's solemn or stern. No, he can smile. He can be they go together. Here again, Gurupad quotes a passage in Srimad Bhagavatam. It appears that Kardama Muni was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because as soon as he became silent, he at once began to think of Lord Vishnu. And that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Pure devotees are so absorbed in thought of Krishna that they have no other engagement. Although they may seem to think or act otherwise, they are always thinking of Krishna. So that's also gravity. You will not know what is going on in their minds. They're because they're always absorbed in Krishna. It may appear that they're acting in an ordinary way, but actually Krishna's plan is in their minds. Then he says, the smile of such a Krishna conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples, and followers. So again, just as in this verse we have this smiling of Maharaj Prithu coupled with this gravity. So here, same as there. Again, another passage about gravity. The Lord's excellent, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:16-14, the Kumara's bewilderment on hearing the profound speeches from the mouth of Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. So here's a case, the other side of gravity. One, you may not speak your mind, disclose your mind to everyone. And secondly, when that's disclosed, still no one can understand what a person's intention is. Purport. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches, for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord, but although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Lord wanted to do. Nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with him. And Rupad says, if one hears the profound speeches of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes grave. So, at any rate, this is the some examples of this gravity that we have from Krishna and from the devotees and from Maharaj Prithu. Certainly, there are so many instances of Srila Prabhupada's gravity. And there's an example of someone that nobody could understand his plan of action. What he was doing, how he was thinking. No one was in a position to understand. And and similarly, when things are explained, then it's still very difficult to understand. Just like Bhagavad Gita, there's an example of gravity. just like Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is noted for, first of all, it's short. It's only 700 verses. Second of all, the Sanskrit is very easy. It's one of the first texts that's translated in Sanskrit classes because the Sanskrit is very simple. And yet, it's very difficult to understand the import of the Bhagavad Gita. And that's because it's of the gravity of Krishna. There's so much there. It's beneath the surface. And so here's the example is given. That in this way it says, Prithu Pracheta Eva Samavritatma. He kept himself covered, or he kept his mind covered, just as Varuna is covered by the ocean. So, of course, we know the ocean, you see there's still a flat surface, but underneath so much is going on, there's a whole world down there. So similarly, a devotee may be covered like that. So the Bhagavad Gita is deceptively simple. I picked a book out of the library on the Bhagavad Gita the other day at the Penn Library, and it opened with a quotation from Gandhi. The Bhagavad Gita, I think, is a very easy book to understand. It's the beginning of the quotation. This by somebody who never understood it. Now, so it's not an easy book to understand. But although it's spoken so simply, so directly, such simple language, not long, not weighty, a lot of ponderous words and elaborate diction and so on, but still. So this is an example of gravity, that there's so much there. You take any verse of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and you study it and study it and study it, and more is disclosed. But it's not on the surface. It's inside. So therefore, there's a profound import to everything. So someone who's grave like Maharaj Prickett, every sentence he says, every word, there's so much meaning behind it. And because of this gravity, Gambira. Now let's go on to money. Upagupta Vittaha. So similarly, his treasury was well protected. He didn't make full financial disclosure of how much money he had. Well, this is foolish to do so. Because it would be very difficult to conduct matters of state if this is known. It will attract plunderers and so on. So this con artists, anytime it's a fact that people who are really wealthy, you won't recognize them. Really, the truly upper classes are out of sight. You don't see their houses. They drive old cars. It's only people who are not so wealthy, they have to show off and have diamond rings on their little fingers and things like that. But the really wealthy people, you don't know. Because among other things, it's safe. Safer to be like that. If you advertise your wealth, you just attract parasites, con artists, extortionists, blackmailers, terrorists, kidnappers, and so on. So if you have money, it's best to not let people know about it. It's safe. So similarly, the government, how much money it has, and so on, it's protected. Has to protect its funds. So this is part of his protection, to protect the treasury. And he says, in Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury, and the only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper. Thus, in times of distress, the government artificially inflates the currency by simply printing paper, and this artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. The history of money in Kali Yuga is the history of inflation. Always the currency has been inflating, 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 inflating. And this is cheating. So Prabhupada has something to say about that. This in the third canto, when Maharaj Pricket chastised Kali, he said that there are five places that you could reside in. Maharaj Pricket, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. Okay, you can live in these four places. Notice this is the four regulative principles are the prohibition of the existence or at least entering into such places. Gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. The four pillars of sinful life. So wherever those things are there the age of Kali resides. So this is his four places. The personality of Kali asked for something more because he knew that in Maharaj Pricket's kingdom those places would be hard to find. So he asked for something more. And because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold. Because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. So this is the fifth place. Now Prabhupada says in his purport, although Maharaj Pariksit gave Kali permission to live in four places, it was very difficult for him to find the places because during the reign of Maharaj Pricket there were no such places. Unlike the present reign government. Then now Atlantic City and their signs up in the Poconos bring gambling to the Poconos. Their referendums in Florida bring gambling to Miami. So the result will be in their competition to get the gambling dollar, that it will be everywhere. It will just simply spread with state support and encouragement. And similarly, as you can see, whenever that comes, and there's also so much corruption is there. Organized crime comes in, prostitution is there, intoxication is there, meat eating, all these things increase whenever these are there. Therefore, Kali asked the king to give him something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Maharaj Pariksit then thus gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold. Because wherever there is gold, there are all the above-mentioned four things. Over and above them, there is enmity also. So the personality of Kali became gold standardization. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, gold encourages falsity, intoxication, prostitution, envy, and enmity. Even a gold standard exchange and currency is bad. Gold standard currency is based on falsehood because the currency is not on par with the reserved gold. The basic principle is falsity because currency notes are issued in value beyond that of the actual reserve gold. This artificial inflation of currency by the authorities encourages prostitution of the state economy. The price of commodities becomes artificially inflated because of bad money or artificial currency notes. Bad money drives away good money. Instead of paper currency, actual gold coins should be used for exchange and this will stop prostitution of gold. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. This will discourage lust, envy, and enmity. When there is actual gold currency in the form of coins, the influence of gold in producing falsity, prostitution, etc., will automatically cease. There will be no need of an anti-corruption ministry for another term of prostitution and falsity of purpose. So here, when Prabhupada means gold standardization, that means the policy of instead of having gold coins in circulation, the government has so much gold hidden away in its treasury, and then they issue notes. Now, it's gone further than what Prabhupada has even said here. They issue notes, and it used to be in America, the banknotes said, the dollar bills said, pay to the bearer on demand, $1. Well, all the ones that I saw in my lifetime were silver certificates. There were silver and gold, both. So it used to be that there were gold coins in circulation. Gold and silver coins in circulation. That was the minted by the government. But then this little trick, this gold standardization, came about. And the reason was that this way you could print more paper money over and in excess of what there was actually to back it up. If everybody took their money in and said pay, of course you couldn't do that because when these notes were in effect, it was illegal for you to own gold anyway. But they said you pay, then the government would have been immediately bankrupt because these notes were issued far and above in excess of what actual wealth they possessed. So that is inflated currency. Now you don't. Now, if you look, the bills do not even say pay to the bearer on demand. What it says is Federal Reserve note. This actually means that there's nothing backing it up. Because what they discovered is they had so much in excess of what there was actually there in the form of gold and silver bullion that they said, okay, we'll just make it this way. Well, what actually backs up this money is your faith in the government of the United States. So actually, this is very, very precarious. And it allows for this cheating, for this inflated economy. And I think the evils, right now, inflation is temporarily under control, but it won't last. It won't last. But inflation means that when the government needs to finance itself in excess of revenues, they, in effect, print more money. Now, it's a little more complicated than that nowadays. What they do when they print more money is they borrow money. The government borrows money. They issue bonds, treasury bonds, and people buy them. That's the national debt. What you do is you actually, this cheating actually means that you mortgage the future. Another way of, so this is another way of printing money, credit. If a bank issues you a credit card, you have a line of credit worth $5,000, then in essence there's $5,000 more available. So that when you, the government, and the government does the same thing, so it has a national debt, which there is no possibility of its paying off. There's no possibility. Now, what will happen in the future? The other thing is sooner or later these notes become due. Well, what do you do when they become due? Well, you issue more notes to pay off those notes. Will there be a day of reckoning? And the other thing is that these notes are not, at this point, More and more of them are not owned by citizens of the United States. So this is one thing, at least this deficit financing, and it leads to this inflation. And when there is inflated currency, all kinds of things begin to happen. First of all, it no longer becomes profitable to save money. Because whatever you get by saving money and interest, your money is becoming more and more worthless every day. So you don't save money. And it simply, what it does is it speeds up greed. People become an anxiety in an inflating economy. You have to hustle really fast and try to make more and more money. It doesn't do any good to save it. It doesn't do any good to maintain things. It becomes better to tear things, build them up, and tear them down. So the motive passion increases like crazy. Speculative enterprises go on. Everyone becomes worried. Everyone's looking for investments that are hedges against inflation. And what do? They store more gold. So gold becomes hoarded. And what this is talking about is specifically where there is gold, it means where gold is being hoarded. So the government hoards gold and issues these paper certificates. Everybody else, they lose trust in the currency. They hoard gold. And it says here, bad money drives away good money. This is called Gresham's Law. It's a law of economics. That bad money drives out good money. Say there's a lot of, just like, for example, there used to be still silver dollars, silver quarters and silver dimes in circulation. And then the government decided to debase the currency and started issuing these quarters that have that little sandwich thing in there. And what happened? Those silver coins instantly disappeared from circulation. Because what did you do? Now they're going to be worth more money and everybody hoards them. So this is a law that bad money drives out good. So if there's good money in circulation and then the government, in order to inflate, doesn't have any more money. So what they do is, there's another way of cheating. You debase the coinage. You add more lead to the mixture. You string out your... So of course, before there was paper money, it was easier for the government to cheat by debasing the coinage, lowering the quality of the gold and the silver. Instead of 14 carat, became 13 carat, 12 carat, silver became. And that meant that the good money became driven out. So now you have the ultimate in debased coinage, you have paper. You have a piece of paper. And that's why this piece of paper can become, that's why with this piece of paper, what you can buy now, with it, is nothing compared to what it used to be. Everybody knows this experience of inflation. When I was a child, a first-class stamp was still 3 cents. Now it's 22 and climbing steadily. Everything becomes inflated like that. And the inflation comes because the government is got to finance itself somehow or other. So all these things, this basic principle of cheating economy, just creates this paper money and this ability of the government to print money, and thus the fuel economy. What is the wealth? What is our actual wealth in this case, if it's just paper? Well, according to modern economy, wealth is the goods and services that the economy produces. So in other words, wealth is just so long as the factories are producing and people are buying, then there's wealth. But of course, you see what happens is every so often there are these cycles that nobody can control. And all the wealth disappears overnight. People lose fortunes, or the stock market falls and people lose fortunes overnight. Now that's not wealth. So this artificial wealth is created, and because artificial wealth is created, what happens is that rogues and thieves and other low-class people can become rich by this artificial wealth. And then these kind of people rise to the top of society. They become very important people, even though they have no responsibility, no good qualities, simply by... Because this kind of artificial wealth, it allows various sorts of speculation and cheating like crazy. So this means that simply by cheating, you can become a rich person. And it's a form of gambling also. Prabhupada, he defines gambling as including gambling of all description, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading. When gambling is encouraged in the state, there's a complete disappearance of truthfulness. So what this kind of economy does is it increases gambling more and more. Speculation. People buy properties and then wait for the price to rise, then unload them. They sell short and so on. So this whole feverish enterprise of people in the stock market making huge amounts of money, producing nothing useful whatsoever. They just playing with numbers. I mean, ultimate social parasites, and yet they manage to corner so much wealth. Or at least it appears to wealth for a while. They can change it for durable goods, but if they haven't, and if it's still in the form of numbers, it can also vanish overnight. So these paper fortunes are lost and sold in the stock market. So in this way, everyone gets involved in these degrading activities more and more because the government no longer has a well-protected treasury. And in times of emergency, if people lose faith in the government, all that paper that you have is worthless. So this prompts people who have become nervous. Like these folks they call survivalists, these are very nervous people. They know that if there's a nuclear war or something, all this paper is just going to be good for just stuffing in your shoes to block the holes, or stuffing in the chinks in the wall to keep the draft out, that's all. So what do they want? They want gold. So therefore people are hoarding gold, Kruger Rands and things like that, gold bullion. Because if people are afraid that if there's some disaster, then all this money will obviously be worthless. People's faith becomes very shaky. And they try to hoard other things also. But mostly gold is being hoarded. But of course, even that is not real wealth. When it comes down to it, you won't be able to eat gold either. So the real wealth is that... that you have fertile land and you have some cows on that land, then you can live no matter what. If you have good land and you have some cows, then you can have everything necessary. So that's our hedge, this Gita Nagari farm. So one person has a bushel of wheat and another person has gold. Who's going to be the wealthier? So anyway, that's this Prabhupada's several places here. He's talked about this cheating process of inflation. This kind of keeping one's business enterprises confidential, that's all right. That should be, he says that everyone has a right. Even the people should also keep their individual earnings a secret. But this is not as he says, the main point is that everyone should be trained in the system of Varnashrama Dharma so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else. So of course these kind of rules for a corrupt society, that's another thing. You have to understand the context that Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So here's Varnashrama Dharma. So that's the main thing. And that has to be there, and then these financial instructions, then they make good sense. But the secrecy now, we attribute that secrecy to the hidden Swiss bank accounts where people are taking their ill-gotten gains and hiding the money from the authorities, money gained through criminal enterprises and stuff. But that's not what he's trying to encourage here. So this is in the context of Varnashrama Dharma. So this should explain the good qualities of, I've tried to explain this, good quality of Maharaj Prithu, that this quality of gravity in all his actions was also part of his glories as a very successful ruler. And it will be there, it is there in Krishna, and it will also be there in anyone who is also Krishna conscious, that Gambhira quality will be manifest. So I'll stop. Yes.
I wonder what effect will it have
if we hoard money? We're not supposed to hoard money. Bhaktisiddhanta's policy was that if you get $1 million donation, you should have spent it for Krishna. You should have spent it for Krishna by the afternoon. So if there's big hoard of wealth in ISKCON, it will simply lead to people becoming corrupt. So it should be used. That was Bhaktisiddhanta's policy. It should be used. If you want to invest it, then put it in property. Buy more farmland. And then utilize it in Krishna's service. But don't just let it sit around in bank accounts. Don't invest it like that. Huh? What would be the one? We want to stay poor. For one's future? Krishna's our insurance. Well, we make plans for the future, but plans, these kind of plans do not necessarily mean that we hoard up or save money. Some money can be saved against emergencies. That's all right. Just like when Rupa Goswami joined, he had I don't know how many boatfuls full of gold coins, and one quarter was saved against maintained against emergencies. So there can be some fund for emergencies. And of course they used that to bribe the jailer to let him go, and then it was gone. But so that can be there. But in general, it's not the idea to mass up huge funds that are kept at all times and increased always and so on like that. Right. Yeah, you see that people have their bloop funds. They just want to leave. Better not have that. Anyone else? Yes?
The devotee did this arbitrage or attrition, was that the funds and fire?
If he did one?
That arbitrage, making money on the stock market.
Yeah. It says gambling is speculative business enterprises. So if it is a speculative business enterprise, then it is ill-gotten gains. Now what the line is between business and speculative business, that you have to be maybe a little difficult. You can invest in the stock market and not be gambling. But there's forms of investment that are just pure gambling, like pork belly futures, futures market. In Chicago, what you do is you contract to buy pork bellies and pigs or grains. And you contract to buy these grains at a certain date. Like, say, right now I'm sitting and say, okay, on September 1st, I'm going to buy so many tons. I mean, you're buying it because you're just a broker. You know, you don't really buy this. So many tons of grains at such a price. So then, if on September 1st, the price is lower than what you, the price is higher than what you contracted by, you make money, and if it's lower, you lose money. So they got these little men sweating like crazy on phones, buying and selling futures, you know, trying to, like... That the mentality that you develop that way is not conducive to remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, you invest in the stock exchange and high-risk business enterprises. You're always a nervous, apprehensive, frightened person. And you do not develop the undisturbed qualities of mind by which you can become a devotee. If you're going to lose everything any minute, you can lose everything. Because risks and opportunities go together. So especially if you're going to make a fortune, you got to risk your fortune. Yes?
No. And a lot of the time, the farmer is living. Because he can't just provide himself unless he grows food.
That's right. Yeah, it's the family farm that's going out. What's being replaced with is gigantic factory farms. You watch what those do. Did you have a question?
Yeah. So do you think that it's going to be a crash? It seems to take a lot of questions.
Yeah, there's going to be a crash. Sure enough. You can only cheat for so long before you have to, before you... Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it could be wiped out, but then other people will come, you know, so there'll be a time when these things get wiped out. Many people suffer, but some people don't. They're prepared for it. Those who really know what's going on, they prepare themselves. And then there's a lot of people that grew rich during the Depression. And there's so many people who were suffering, other people grew rich. But the point is to present an alternative. And that's what this movement is trying to do. We have a social alternative. We have a different system. A whole social system. It's like he mentioned at the end of this purport, Varnashrama Dharma. This is the way government is meant. This is God's system. It's Krishna's system of how human life should be run. How society should be run. So you see here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we also have financial advice. We're given financial advice, how to run God-conscious country, by which all your material necessities will be taken care of adequately, plus you go back to Godhead. So this is Krishna's system. So we're simply... We'll make an alternative and let them keep trying, but it gradually things get worse and worse and worse because they're destroying the earth. The process of this big cheating civilization, they're beginning to destroy the earth. Topsoil is blowing away because they're farming in a bad way. They're polluting everything and so on. So gradually, even though more and more rascals are there, they won't be able to make it work. Things will become more and more chaotic. Just as we learn that people will not pay their taxation. This means the government. Let's say that further on in Kali Yuga, the people will simply have to leave their homes and go out and wander. Because on the one hand, there won't be any food, and on the other hand, the government will take everything from taxation. So they won't be able to live at home anymore. They'll just have to go and become hobos or go to the forests and jungles and whatever and try to survive that way just by scavengering. So there's only so much pressure you can put on people. And corruption will increase more and more and more and more. This will happen. And so people will become increasingly lawless. So finally, when they do, our hope is to have an alternative of where we can present to people that this is what went wrong and this is how you change things. Some will take it up. Yeah? Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody who said that was bad, that's been broken up because that is not a tight control. We're still be organizing the girls.
Yeah, well, anyway, there's still crime. And I think it may not be that group has it, but maybe some other group now.
Well, you were saying that's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's worse, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm not an expert in crime. I can't tell you whether it's bad to have one mafia or many. No, it will increase. People becoming more and more criminal. It will increase. As long as the cheating is there, as long as these four regular principles are not followed, then there's going to be crime. Has to be. Sue, did you have a question? Uh-huh. You preach to people as much as they can understand. You preach to these people as much as they can understand. You may be preaching to somebody, for example, who's a... And also, you may be preaching to somebody, and you can see this person has certain... because he's a materialist, is very foolish in certain ways. But you may not say to him, you're foolish. Because he may not be able to appreciate or be able to understand. So the idea is you see where a person is and then you preach to that person so as they will make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You may see, for example, that a person is very, very, very much attached, say some person is very much attached to some mother or father. Overly attached, excessively attached. If you start saying to this person now, you know, you start preaching to this person, you shouldn't be so attached. That's telling the truth, but actually they'll become so threatened, they won't give up that attack. But no, what you do is, okay, you know that, but then you preach to them just to increase their Krishna consciousness because you know that by becoming more Krishna conscious, gradually that attachment will loosen anyway. They'll become more secure in Krishna consciousness and they won't be trying to make themselves safe in the material world by being attached to one parent or another. And then you can tell them, no, this is a material attachment. So that's an example. So you will not express your mind fully to that person because it would simply be, to do that would be an impediment to their Krishna consciousness, advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay? One more. We've got to stop and eat. Mm-hmm. No, that's the root. That's not the root. The root is there in the dark, black human heart. But the Catholic Church has been co-opted, and so therefore they can't do very much. Therefore there's so much wealth in the church, so many priests, so many establishes, there's so many, Catholic churches on every corner.